It was a little over a month ago now that I found myself of an evening stood, I think it was an evening, stood at Soul Survivor in one of the celebrations there. And at the start of the meeting, there's always a long time of worship that goes on for a long time. And whilst stood there and singing and through all of that, I suddenly had this thought, this feeling that God, in the midst of all of that, was saying something to me. For those who don't know, Soul Survivor is a Christian festival for young people, and it happens over a number of different weeks in the summer. We've taken groups of young people there for, I think, about sort of 12 years now in the life of the church. I've gone there each year, and so I'm well have picked up that, yes, next year is going to be the last year of the Soul Survivor festivals in the summer, but there will be new things happening. And so the week over the bank holiday weekend of August, I found myself there with a group of our young people. And I thought that God was saying to me something along the lines of, open the door and get out of the way. And as I thought about this and I reflected on it, and during that time of worship, two kind of passages from the Psalms came to mind. Before those who think I'm immensely spiritual, when Bible passages come to mind, I tend to get some words from them that come to mind. And I'm not very good at remembering where they are. And so having an app on my phone and Bible search is really helpful, because I can come... I find there's a phrase that comes out to me, and you can do a little search, and ping, there it is. So these were the two passages that came to mind. Psalm 27. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. And it was a sense to me of what God wants us to do, that we might come, what God wants me to do, what God wants us as we lead worship here to do, is to lead people to coming and to looking to Jesus, to gazing upon him. And with that phrase, open the door, this other passage from the Psalms came to mind, from Psalm 84. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. A sense of my role and our role as we lead worship here, to open the way, to open the door for people to come and to meet with God. And I had this feeling of God wanting to come and meet with us, that we might come and we might dwell in his presence. And as that worship time continued, I wrote down some of these things in my little kind of journal book that I had with me. And this phrase came to mind too. It's okay to not be okay. There's places where we're struggling, where there's people who are hurting, where there's people who are going through difficult situations, where there's brokenness. And God wants to come and to meet with us. And that worship time continued, because it goes on for a long time. You can have all of this, have a little discussion with God, look at some bits in the Bible, write some stuff down, and you find that it's still going on, which in sometimes at that point was quite useful. And I said to God, well, that all sounds very well and good, but if you really mean that, if you really want me to go and do something about this, then I feel that you're going to have to confirm this to me in some way, because I'm not just willing to go on this kind of feeling in the midst of a bit of worship here and right now. And so the worship came to an end, and we all sat down, and the talk began. And the central part of the talk that evening, the central passage to it, was this passage from Luke chapter 18 that Elsie read to us. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Two come before God. One who came saying, thank you, God, that I'm sorted, that I've got it all together, that I come perfect and fine, and my life is in good order. And the other, a tax collector, who comes, beats his chest, and says, I'm broken. God, have mercy on me. The one who is regarded as excluded, the one who is a traitor, the one who is looked upon as a sinner, and comes to God with his brokenness. And so I came back and I talked through with others and with the elders. And today starts as the beginning of a series with that title, It's Okay to Not Be Okay. And we're going to have a look at some different people through the Bible and some different situations where there were people facing brokenness in different ways, facing struggles, facing hardship, to recognize that the Bible isn't full of perfect people who had it all together. And today we're going to look at Luke 18 as a beginning of that series. And as I read this passage and looked over it again as I reflected on it during that meeting and following it. When these two people come to pray, I wonder, how is it that we come to worship? Which are we more like as we come and we worship together? Sometimes people have read this passage from Luke 18 and looked at it as kind of something about kind of private, personal, devotional life, because it talks about them praying. But the point is that they come up to the temple. This is them coming and praying in a public space. We've just had lots of open prayer within our prayer time a moment ago. This is more of that kind of context of them coming together, probably at the time a sacrifice was being offered at the temple, and while the priests had gone inside to offer the sacrifice, the people were gathered outside. And that is the context to which we're talking about. This is about how they had come together to worship God. It's more equivalent to how we come together to worship than what we pray about in the silence of our own home. Which are we more like as we come together? And of course, the first character we meet is the Pharisee, who gives us a great lesson in how not to come to worship. It begins in verse 10. The Pharisee stood by himself. The Pharisee comes and he stands by himself. And there's more behind that than we kind of understand at first reading. Because the reason he's probably stood by himself and doesn't want to be near other people is because he doesn't want to be touched by them. Because he's so holy that if other people touch him, he might become defiled and be in some way made unclean. Actually, we see right from the beginning that this was all about him. This was all about him coming separated and better than others. He goes on, he prays, God, I thank you that I am not like other people. And from the best understanding, this is what he's actually praying out loud in front of other people. It's a reminder that not everything that we pray out loud in front of other people is perhaps correct. And maybe we found ourselves the victim at times of a prayer almost like this. I thank you that I am not like other people. His attitude and the way not to come to worship is to compare down. Is to go, look at all these other people who are worse than me. So I must be okay then. The way not to come to worship is coming going, look at all these people on a Sunday morning. They're all still in bed when I'm getting up to go to church. As we drive on our way to church, we go, there's a surprising number of people on the road this morning. I wonder if they're all going to church. I bet they're not, because they're not as holy as me. Look, there's people who are arriving later than me. And this person's wearing jeans. Jeans in church. They're not as holy as me. Look, they can't keep their children under control. They're crawling underneath the front of the front row of chairs. And it's the pastor's son. They're not as holy as me. I'm glad I'm a better person than all of them. Look, they're falling apart. They haven't got it all together. Their life is a mess. They're not as holy as me. And I caricature it because it's funny. But if we're honest, at one time or another, we do it. We've done it. We compare down to make ourselves feel better. Then somehow we come to God and it's okay. We're okay because other people are worse. And maybe it's not people in church. Maybe it's people outside of church. Maybe it's people at work. Whatever it may be. We come and we compare down. I thank you that I'm not like other people. He goes on. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. And he says, I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all that I get. Now, you've got to understand when he's saying this is that the law of Moses and what Moses told people was to fast on the Day of Atonement, So this guy has gone far above what he had to do, what he was meant to do. Fasting twice a week was what some kind of Pharisees were suggesting was a good idea at the time, but it was far beyond what the Bible might have instructed and asked of them to do. And when he says, I give a tenth of all that I get, the important bit is the all that I get, because actually if you really look at what Moses says in the law, in the Old Testament, it talks about tithing a tenth of your grain, wine, and your oil. You should tithe a tenth of your wine, grain, wine? You know what I said. Grain, wine, and oil. You should tithe a tenth of that. And there's lots of other gifts and offerings that you might make along the way. But the whole point of what he's saying is, I tithe all that I get. This is like saying, I thank you, God, that I have 3 devotionals a day, that I pray for hours, that I give 23.5% of my income to charity. I thank you, God, that I've got it so sorted, that you have reached down even into the depths of my wallet, that I have been converted to the depths of my financial situation, because I am so holy. I am so sorted. I am okay. This is what he comes and he's saying. He's saying, I've gone way beyond. And he comes to pray. And actually, as you read that prayer, you realise it's not even really prayer. It's really just self-congratulation, vaguely directed towards God. If we come to worship in this way, the truth is it's not even really worship. And then Jesus continues in verse 12, but. The but is really important here because it's meant to be a shift. It's meant to make us see that what the point he's making is a contrast. This is how not to do it, and this is how we should come. There is a change and a shift. The contrast comes as we look to the tax collector. The tax collector who comes and stands before God and says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. What mattered to him as he came to God was his sin and God's mercy. He had enough faith to come before God and simply see something of God's mercy and to throw himself upon that. As they were coming towards the temple at this time, it's likely that at that point the priests had gone inside and they were making the offering for sin, for people's sin, making the sin offering. And he comes and in the midst of that, he beats his chest and he says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. With that offering that's being made, be for me, because I'm not okay. And the truth is, it's how we're to come as well. To come as a people who come to the cross, who come to the offering that's already been made for us in Jesus Christ. That he died a death for us and for our sin. And that we would come to him. And as we gather together to worship, we would look to him and say, God, have mercy on me. God, have mercy on us. But there's a real depth to what goes on. There's a real depth, actually, to what we see in this tax collector and the things that he does. He comes and he beats his breast. He comes and he beats his chest. And that's actually something that is still done today in certain parts in the Middle East. It's a way of demonstrating a real sense of deep anguish and deep pain, a real sense of a deep grief. It's something that actually is more often done by women and very rarely ever done by men. Because it's such a sign of deep pain and anguish, of having reached the end of yourself. It's rarely ever done by men. The only other time we read about it, in the Bible, in the Gospels, is at the cross. When after Jesus has died, people went away beating their chest at what they'd seen. That's the kind of grief and anguish that is being talked about, that this man comes and stands before God. It's a way of saying, I'm broken. I'm at the end of me. I'm repenting of my sin. I'm in mourning. I need you, God. have mercy on me. He beats his chest. And he wouldn't even look up to heaven. The usual posture and the posture that the Pharisee probably would have been in was to have arms up and eyes looking up to heaven. That was the kind of usual way of prayer. It wasn't that this guy was coming with the normal, you know, head bowed and hands together. He was looking down. He couldn't look to God. In fact, the situation that he's in, it's like he can barely come and pray. He doesn't believe he can look up to God and to pray like others normally would. In his brokenness, there's a separation, as it were, between him and God. He's caught this glimpse of God. He wants God to have mercy upon him, but he's struggling to even pray. Sometimes as we come together and we recognize actually what's really going on and where we are and what's going on in our lives and our own brokenness, it's a struggle to even pray. But this guy comes in the struggle and says these short few words of prayer. He wouldn't even look up to heaven, and he stands at a distance. We read about the Pharisee standing apart from other people, but the tax collector comes and stands at a distance from others. His reason for standing far away is a bit different to the Pharisee. He doesn't feel he's worthy to come and stand with God's people. He's distancing himself from others. And actually, the truth is, we know some of it, don't we? When we're broken, when we're struggling, when we recognize that, it can be hard to come together with God's people. It can be hard to come to church. It can be hard to come to worship. It's not always the natural thing that we find easy to do, because we just want to distance ourselves from others. And because sometimes we just want to hide what's really going on. And as we go through this series and we go through today and we think about this, about it's actually okay to not be okay. It isn't about coming and everybody needing to bear their entire soul to everybody else. We're not being asking everybody to come up and give their whole testimony of everything that's been going on in their lives. Actually, there's a place, there's right places for sharing different things. And actually, we don't want to push one another to know the details of what they're struggling with and what's going on and how they're feeling. It's not about pushing one another either. But it's about, as we come together, having an honest recognition of what's going on, of our need for God and to meet with him. And for me, the punchline of this passage, not because it's funny, but because it impacts, is the last verse, well, verse 14. I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. This man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. And in some ways, we are just too familiar with this passage, maybe, and with the ideas in what it talks about, for that to shock us in the way it would have shocked the people hearing what Jesus said. That he's saying, the tax collector, the one who's known as the sinner, he's saying, this is the one who goes away justified before God. The one who can hardly pray, the one who can't even look up to God, the one who's distancing himself from other people. He's saying, this is the one that goes home justified before God. To the people who were hearing him, they wouldn't have considered him justified because he hadn't done enough. He hadn't changed his way enough. He hadn't done enough to make up for the wrong things that he'd done. It wasn't enough just to say a prayer and that would be okay. He hadn't done enough to change his ways. He didn't look good enough. And Jesus is saying, this is the one who's justified. This is the one who's been made right with God. This is the one who's okay. The guy who comes and says he's broken and who knows it. And of course, the other shocking bit about it isn't just that he's saying that this is the guy who's okay, that he's saying the Pharisee isn't. That the Pharisee goes away not justified before God. And it turns out, just in what Jesus said, that those who exalt themselves will be humbled is very true for that Pharisee. That he lifted himself up, that he praised himself before others, that he exalts himself, and he's humbled to find that actually he's condemned. The one who comes and says, basically, I've got no need of God because I'm okay, because I've got it right, because I've got it sorted. the one who comes and says, thank you, God, that I don't need you. It turns out he knew nothing of God. And I believe if we come to God thinking that we need nothing of him, then that is exactly what we'll get. If we come to God pretending that we need nothing of him, then that is what we'll get. How is it that we come to worship? Because personally, I want more than coming pretending everything's okay and going away with just the same pretense. And I want more than that for me and for you. Because if we come and we pretend that we've got no need of God, we're going to leave just the same. I want more than we can simply offer one another in the support that we can give each other. And there's a great amount of support and care that goes on between one another in this family that is the church. And it's a great encouragement and a great strength and support. But I believe God's got more than simply what we can offer one another. I want more than what it is that I can offer you. Because I simply don't believe that it's enough. For me, there's a real irony in having been preparing this message in some ways for the last month, but say through the last week or so. Because the last couple of weeks have not been an easy couple of weeks. And I found myself on Wednesday evening, as you do, sat on the kitchen floor, crying, going, I've got nothing left. I'm just exhausted in every way, emotionally, physically, spiritually. I've reached my end. And the irony being that I'd planned to spend some of that time that evening working on this message. And I've said this before, God has an annoying way of giving me illustrations. God has more than what we can simply offer one another. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Let's come before him and recognize our brokenness. Let's come and recognize our need of him, that we don't have it all together, that we're not okay. Let's come and do what Jesus says and humble ourselves before him. As he says it here, as he says it a number of times through the gospel, as the Old Testament prophets tell us, to come humbly before God. Come humble yourselves before him, and it's those who he will lift up. And yet so often, we're a stubborn and a self-sufficient people. And sometimes we don't compare down, sometimes we compare up. And sometimes we go, well, look at them and look at all that they're dealing with. And honestly, that was something of what I was doing this week. I was sat on that floor and at one point I said to myself, because when I'm being strict with myself, I still have the kind of secondary school teacher voice in my head, who in our secondary school, they called you by your surname. So in my head, I was going, Perryman, get up. Get off the floor. Come on. There's people coping with a lot more than you are. There's other pastors who've been through a lot worse. Get off the floor. And we compare up. And we go, they're okay. They seem like they're coping fine. I should be like that too. I should be okay as well. And I better go and look like it. Because we're stubborn. And we're self-sufficient. And maybe at times just not willing to humble ourselves before him. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." If we come to him and we're ready to bear our brokenness to him, we'll find healing. If we'll come to him ready to show that we're weary, he's the one who'll give us rest. If we come to him ready to declare to him that we're sinners, he's the one who'll show us mercy. Come to me. As I found myself back and stood in that time of worship following the talk, which was another long time of worship, I found that God continued to speak to me. And I believe that there's people here who he wants to meet with, people that he wants to strengthen, people he wants to encourage, people he wants to refresh and restore. And this isn't about everybody being broken. There's no prize for being the most broken person here. This isn't about a competitive and about how messed up we are or what the struggles are or having attention because of what we're going through. Because we've all got struggles. There's all things that we are going through. I really hope that none of us comes to God like that Pharisee. And some, by God's grace, are doing incredibly well. Understanding through the strength that God gives. But there's others. And I believe you know who you are. And you're struggling. In faith. In health. With depression. In family life. In your marriage. With grief. With what your parents are going through. With caring for others. In some ways, I don't feel like I have a huge amount to offer. Other than what I want to encourage you that it's okay to not be okay. That it's okay to bring these things to God. And we shouldn't pretend. And I'm not going to say that all of this is going to change suddenly. That suddenly everything will be different. That we'll sing some songs in the next 10 minutes and all the problems will disappear. But that psalm we read right at the start said, "Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere." And I think perhaps just coming and meeting with God even for a moment will make something of what we're going through, of what you're going through, better. And so if that's you, and if you know that that's you, in a little bit, I'm going to invite you to stand. To be quite brave in that sense. And in that sense, be willing to humble yourself before God. In being willing to come as that tax collector and say, "God, would you have mercy on me?" And it's only a beginning. And it's only a start. And we're going to look at these things over the coming weeks. But I think as we begin, it will be good where we're willing, where we know that we're broken, to ask God to stand before him and say, "Have mercy on me." So if that's you, and you know that's you, I invite you to stand now. Father, we're sorry for where we have pretended. We're sorry for where we've hidden things away. We're sorry for where we thought we've had to come to you, looking as though we've got it all together. And Lord, we stand before you now. Coming humbly. Recognizing our own brokenness. And we ask, Lord, that you would have mercy on us. Father, I thank you for the bravery and the humility of those who have stood here. And I ask, Lord, that you would send your Holy Spirit and that you would come and meet with them. Lord, we come hungry, thirsty, weary. And Lord, we ask that you would feed, you would refresh, you would restore. Come, Holy Spirit.